T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Real wolves are social creatures. They need and crave a group to belong to in order to survive and thrive. The same is true for your Minnesota Timberwolves. Now join host Henry Lake as he gets an inside look with another prominent member of the club. This is Life in the Pack.
Welcome to the Life in the Pack podcast. I'm your host, Henry Lake. This is episode 2 of the podcast this season. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to head coach Chris Finch, and today we chat with a former player that Timberwolves fans will never forget from his 3 years with the team. He arrived in 2003 with the club, and the team immediately benefited from his arrival as they made their way to the 2004 Western Conference Finals. A 4-time All-Star, and he reached the NBA Finals as well with the New York Knicks. A pleasure to chat with Latrell Sprewell here on Life in the Pack. Welcome back to Minnesota, Latrell.
Thank you. I feel right at home.
Man, this is awesome to see you again, and I'm seeing right outside here, we're seeing John Thomas, your buddy, and you're talking about the good old days with John Thomas and the crew. How's it feel to be back in Minnesota?
Oh, man, it feels great. It's nice to see some familiar faces. I think we're going to see Troy Hudson later, so, I love Troy as well, so I just feel right at home.
Nice. All right, so you burst onto the scene when you arrived in the NBA in 1992, immediately making an impact. You averaged over 15 points a game. What do you remember about breaking into the league and having success right away?
Well, I think for me, one of the things I remember most is I came into the league unknown for my defense. But Nelly, Don Nelson, he's an offensive guy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he played me almost 48 minutes. I think I led the league in minutes that year. So he just wanted me to get as much experience as I could, and he left me out on the court and let me play as much as possible, and that really helped my game a lot.
So knowing that you came in with the identity of being a defensive guy, did having that success offensively surprise you in any way or surprise the league?
Well, I think it surprised me and the league. I mean, I just put in a lot of work coming into my rookie year. But, I was raw. There were some things I needed to work on. And being able to watch Chris Mullin shoot and watch how he what he did after practice and before practice, getting there early, that was really beneficial as well, just getting to pick his brain and watch him and see how he worked on his shot. So, that helped me a lot.
Did you get a chance to play with Mitch? You didn't
no,
play with Mitch Richmond.
No,
oh,
they
man.
Traded for Billy.
Oh, okay.
Owens.
Okay, Billy Owens. Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't get to play with Mitch, but I played against him a lot at SAC, and he was a tough cover.
Yeah, all right. So I asked the question about the success because, the Timberwolves have a phenomenal young player in Anthony Edwards. He broke out of the league last year as one of the top rookies out there. What do you think of Anthony's game?
Well, I watched him a little in college, so I always thought he was, a big physical guy, strong for his size. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, putting in the work, like I'm saying, like with me, you just have to do so much more, even when you think you're at the top, because, he came in, pretty highly touted, I guess. So, but you still, when you get to the league, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
And you're looking at guys that you looked up to, you're kind of starstruck. And you got to get through all of that. So it's just a matter of like him growing and getting some experience, getting games under his belt, and building that confidence.
All right, you hail from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Washington High School, correct?
Correct.
All right, so with that being your hometown in Milwaukee being so close to Minneapolis, did that part excite you when you arrived in Minnesota via the trade?
It actually did, and I when I got here, I was like, I just felt like at home. It's like you smell the air, the Midwest air. It's like... So I really felt at home, and just being so close to my family, it was a 5-hour drive, an hour flight if they wanted to come see me or something like that. So, yeah, it was fun being here for sure.
You, Kevin Garnett, and Sam Cassell, in my opinion, were the first big three in Timberwolves history. What do you remember from that 2004 season?
Oh, man, just how close that unit was. I think that's one of the reasons we had so much success is because we really got along off the court. We would, you know, eat together, and we just did a bunch of stuff together. And I don't think we had anyone on that team that didn't like someone else. We genuinely loved each other, and then when we got on the court, it showed.
This is the Life in the Pack podcast. I'm your host, Henry Lake, and today's guest is Latrell Sprewell here on the podcast. All right, Spree, keep it real with the people. In your opinion.
I always keep it real, man.
Yeah, all right. We're going to keep it real right here.
That's all I know how to do.
That's all you know how to do. If Sam Cassell doesn't get injured and he's able to finish the postseason back in 2004, do you think the Wolves win a championship?
Man, you're stabbing me right in the heart, man.
I'm not trying
to. You know what? It wasn't only Sam. It was Troy. Mm-hmm. We didn't have Troy. Troy went down in preseason with the ankle injury, and he was, you know, he never really recovered from that. Mm-hmm. I think he tried to come back a little too early and made it worse. So, man, if we could have had one of those guys, it was brutal. I mean, we ended up with Derek Martin.
Yeah, I was just about to mention.
Man.
Yep, Derek.
It was
yep.
He just kind of got through in the fire, but. Yeah, if you ask me, no question, if Sam or Troy, if we have one of those guys, I think we're in the finals, and I think we beat Detroit twice that year. They weren't going to beat us, so it was just unfortunate to have that kind of injury so close to the finals.
Yeah, that's kind of a buzzkill because I know at the time, you know, me sitting there in press row and just the excitement and the energy at each and every one of those games, and then going into that Lakers series, I felt like it was our time.
That's playoff energy. That's the playoff atmosphere. The fans love it. The city loves it. I mean, it's summertime. It's getting warm out. I mean, just driving to the game, man, it was crazy around the Target Center. So, I mean, that's what the playoffs are all about. I mean, that's the most fun time of the year for a player and a coach. I mean, because that's what you're playing for. You're playing for a championship. And to have an opportunity to try to accomplish that, it's a big deal.
Well, is there a different type of focus when you get into that playoff? Is there like a playoff mode versus the regular?
Okay. I mean, you hear people say it all the time. You have to take it to the next level. I mean, and you do. And it's all about preparation. I mean, you're playing a team possibly seven times. So you really have to be in tune with the game plan, what you have to do to stop a guy, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses. And you really, like I said, you really have to like hone in on that. So to try to limit their baskets. And, you know, playoff scores, you know, they come down because – God, you know the team so well. You play them so many times in a row.
Was there like this veteran presence that you had and you shared with the guys, knowing that you had been in NBA Finals with the Knicks?
Well, yeah, obviously, just being in the finals and being in the playoffs, it helps you, you know, just to get ready. You don't have that nervousness, you know. So I think for me, just, you know, having that playoff experience, it definitely helped me when we got in the playoffs during that run.
Who was the player that was probably your best friend or the player that you trusted the most during those playing days?
Here?
Here just and anywhere. In general.
I got to be honest, man.
Give me both.
I got to be honest, man. I had some great teammates. I mean, Chris Webber, like I said, Billy Owens. Mully was great for me. Patrick Ewing, he's probably one of the reasons I got to New York. I told him this story about when we were free agents. Mm-hmm. I think it was myself, Allen Houston, and Reggie Miller. We were all free agents at the same time. And the Knicks went right after Allen. And I was a little offended by that, but they didn't even give me a look. I'm like, so I saw Patrick the next year. I'm like, Patrick, man, you go tell whoever the GM is over there. It's like, they could at least give me a look to see if I wanted to come there. And, you know, I think he went and did that. And so when all this stuff happened and I was able to, you know, they were able to trade for me, I mean, they made it happen. So it was a natural fit.
You were just recently in New York, right?
Yeah, I was there for the home opener.
Okay, who were they playing?
Boston.
What do you think of their squad now?
Well, they're looking good, man. They made some changes with Kemba and, you know, the two guard from Boston. I can't think of his name right now. But, I think they helped themselves offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, with Tibbs coached here. So, I mean, Tibbs is a defensive guy, and he coached me at New York. And the one thing you know you're going to get with him is a team that's going to play hard and definitely play well defensively. So I think they made some improvements by getting some guys offensively.
I think you're talking about Evan Fournier. Yeah,
that's
the other guard
they got.
Yeah,
that's who they got.
All right, so you attended the University of Alabama. So I bet you're all about the Roll Tide.
Absolutely.
It's known as a football school, but the basketball program is getting a lot of props. They had a great run last year. Do you follow them at all?
Well, I followed them a little bit. I didn't know, but they had Avery. I played with Avery at Golden State, and he kind of got them back on the map.
He
and
did.
Made
that was when he started training back.
Yep. Yeah, and then when they moved him, I was like, well, y'all didn't understand what happened, but you know, because I love Avery, so I'm like, you know, I thought that was a bad situation, but the new guy they brought in, he likes to play sort of like Golden State. They like to play a fast tempo, get up a lot of threes, and you know, so just watching them play, they're a lot of fun to watch.
They tend to like to get up and down in transition and play with a lot of pace. Right. So I'm in agreement with you on that. We're talking to Latrell Sprewell. He's our guest here on the Life in the Pack podcast, and I'm your host, Henry Lake. Now, I have to run this story by you and get your thoughts on it. So there's this report that came across recently, and it's about Michael Jordan's return to the NBA after his first retirement. Now, according to this report, it says, although no one could question that Mike still had it in him, it was Jordan himself who wanted to test himself against two players. Yes, we're talking about then Golden State Warriors players Tim Hardaway and Latrell Sprewell. While Hardaway was already an all-star point guard during that time, Sprewell was an up-and-coming talent in the league. Well, to fulfill his request, Mike called then Golden State Warriors assistant Rod Higgins. Now, this is via NBC Sports Chicago. The quote, MJ really wanted to play against Hardaway and Sprewell because Sprewell was the new it, so to speak, in terms of two guard. Once Michael got warmed up, you could tell his objective was to basically kick Spree and Tim's behind and talk trash to them. He basically measured Spree up. The primary focus of MJ's request was to play against the aforementioned players, was to test himself. If he could still defeat one of the best young players in the league or not. Now, I read that, and it says to me that Michael Jordan had a whole heck of a lot of respect for young Latrell Sprewell.
Well, you know, I hadn't heard that. And for me, Mike, growing up, he's the guy that I looked up to. So, I mean, when I saw when I first played against him, I was like a deer in headlights. And I can remember, like, when LeBron first got in the league and mm-hmm. played me for the first time. You know that look when you see a guy that's like, oh, wow.
A little wide-eyed, huh?
Right, yeah. So, and I know I had to be that way because I'm a huge fan of Michael Jordan. So that's an honor in itself. But, I mean, at that point in time, being young, I'm just out there trying to learn things myself. And, you know, Mike, he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest. So, for me, it was an honor to just be able to play against him. But I hadn't heard that story. And, but I mean,
that's kind of a cool story, man.
That is a cool story.
That's a lot of respect.
That is. And I'm going to say, he kicked our butt at Golden State. But when he came back and was at Washington, I got him back now at the Garden. So I got a little revenge on him. But Mike is, you know, Mike's the man. And, that's definitely a story that I hadn't heard, but it's an honor.
Somebody that I think about often, who I had the pleasure of knowing, and you as well, was the late, great Flip Saunders. What was it like playing for Flip?
Oh, man, Flip, offensively, man, he's like, I mean, it's a couple of coaches. I would say Nelly and Flip. Offensively, the plays that they would draw up, I mean, you just knew they were going to work because it worked so many times. Mm-hmm. Like, and he just, like, get the clipboard and Spree, you're here, Sam here, ticket, you do this. And, you know, and it always worked. And I think just his ability to call plays and understand and feel the game offensively, I mean, that's what I took most from Flip.
What is Latrell Sprewell passionate about these days?
Well, I got a couple of little girls at home, so obviously the family for me. That's why I'm still in Milwaukee. I'm a homer. I've always been close to my family. I think that's the most thing I'm passionate about. But I'm a football guy. I like football. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of a gamer. I grew up playing video games.
Are you a Packers fan?
Oh, I love to say that. Yes, I'm from Milwaukee. Come on, man. You know the Packers Vikings rivalry. It's the NFC North.
So, it is what it is.
The Bears, the Lions. Oh my,
man.
It's fun, man. The NFC North. I mean, the Packers and the Bears is the longest going rivalry in football. It's just so many great storylines with the four teams. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm very into the football in the NFC North.
If you never had an NBA career, what else do you think that you would have been doing in your life?
Well, I think, honestly, football is my first passion.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what?
And LeBron James,
I'm
man.
I'm just a skinny kid that's like, I grew from like my sophomore year to my senior year. I had a growth spurt. Hmm. And I'm just like, dude, I'm
Wait, not, how much of a growth spurt?
I can't tell you. I can't really remember exactly like how much it was. But I definitely grew a lot, and I'm just like, you know, I just wasn't really, for me, I didn't feel comfortable playing football. But I wanted to be a wide receiver. Like, I played in junior high, and, you know, I had a few catches for touchdowns and stuff. And, you know, that was my thing, man. I wanted to be a receiver bad. And my dad and I would go out, and, you know, he'd throw me passes all the time. And it was a passion of mine. That's why I'm a football fan today.
At what particular point did you have to decide, though, that this was going to be what was going to get you to the next level? And I ask that because we had a kid here just recently, Jalen Suggs, who was just drafted in the top five here. And he was Mr. Football and Mr. Basketball. But when he made that decision to go to Gonzaga, of course, it was all about basketball. So did you make that decision?
Well, for me, like I said, it was easy because I was in high school, and I got so much taller. I grew up in Flint. I stayed in Flint with my dad for a few years before I moved back to Milwaukee. And back then, Flint was putting out some of the best players from high school. The high school scene in Flint was really good.
Oh, I've been to Flint.
Yeah.
Had me a couple Halo burgers.
Yeah. So, I mean, basketball was the thing back then. So, for me, like, I would say my sophomore year, I'm like, hey, this is, you know, it's all about basketball for me. And I can actually remember not playing and seeing some of the, like, kids I was in grade school with playing. I'm like, and I play against these kids all the time at the park. And they're just out there, you know, one of my guys made the JV team. And it's like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I should be out there too, you know?
Yeah. All right. This is the question I think a lot of fans want me to ask you about. And I wanted to ask it. How did the spinning rim shoes come about? That was such a creative idea at the time.
Well, it came from the rims. When the rims came out, I just thought, I'm like, man, this would be kind of cool to try to get this idea on the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it to Dada, because I was wearing Dada at the time. And,
yep.
But I brought it to them kind of late in the summer. So they were kind of pushing to get it done before the season started and just trying to figure out a way to, okay, how can we make the mechanism work to have it and make it comfortable and, you know, make the shoe still quality. So, but it came from the rim, the spinning rims from my rim shop, man. So, you know, the spinners, it was a fad, you know, at the time. It was popular, you know,
it's still popular.
I mean,
people know about it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know about it. I mean, you don't see them as much out on the street, but at the time, like you said, people know about them, and, you know,
they're on eBay. No, I'm dead serious. I looked it up.
Yeah, I'm sure you can still get them. But,
yep.
I mean, back then when they first came out, man, I had people calling me left and right to try to get those things. And so, you know, I said, man, it'd be a nice idea to try to get this on the shoe.
Yeah. All right, your former teammate, Kevin Garnett, he recently went into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. You guys still chop it up?
I talk to him every now and again. Not like I feel like we should, but, you know, I give KG his space. But anytime we see each other, it's always love. Like, KG is one of, like, you asked me about some of the guys that I love and bonded with when I played. And KG is definitely one of those guys. And just being able to play with somebody with that much passion and has the kind of attitude sort of like myself on the court. And, you know, we're both bringing that energy and that grit and that grime and scowling at people and the team is like, you know, it was fun to play with a guy like that.
I wonder what it was like in the practices, man, because you are intense. You're passionate. He's intense. He's passionate.
Oh, Sam,
I mean,
too.
I bet it got feisty. Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's what helped. I mean, our second team helped push us because we were going. We went at each other in practice. Like, Flip would have to call practice sometimes because it would get so intense.
That's awesome, man. All right, so what is the biggest misconception about Latrell Sprewell?
Well, I played with such an edge and the way I played, the scowl, like I said earlier. A lot of people think I'm this mean guy because of the way I play. But then you see me off the court and it's like, that's not the guy I'm used to seeing. He's not anything like I thought he would be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, when I think about you right now, you just said, you know, I'm being a dad. I got my daughters and stuff like that. Right. Are they into athletics at all?
Yeah, my daughters are very athletic. So, I mean, they're 7 and 9. So, you know, they're
in the jeans.
Yeah, I mean, they're like thin as all out, but super athletic, a ton of energy. Like, they got my, you know, they got that from me. Stamina wise, they can just go, you know. So, yeah, they're definitely, I think they're going to track or something like that. Maybe, I don't know, tennis, basketball. I don't try to force them into anything.
Yeah.
It's just they're trying to feel their way out and see what they're into.
You're just trying to be super supportive,
right? Yeah, whatever they want to do, whatever they gravitate towards, and I'm just want to, you know, be there to support them.
All right, so you love football, but clearly you love basketball as well, because that was what you know made you famous, and you got in the league and you played outstanding. Who was the player that you looked up to when you were, like, in middle school or high school?
We said Michael.
Michael was that guy.
Michael, definitely. But being in, like, growing up in Detroit, living in Flint, too, I was a Bad Boy fan. You know, I loved the team, the Piston team. with Zeke and all those guys and the way they would rough you up, Bill Laimbeer, you know, Rodman and Sally. So, I mean, Dumars, that was a great team, and it was me living in Detroit. I mean, in Flint at the time, rooting for Detroit was easy, so I love that team.
All right, before we let you go, we do this thing. It's kind of a rapid-fire questions, all right?
Okay.
So basically, I'm going to mention something, and you just briefly tell me what comes to mind first.
Got it.
Madison Square Garden.
Oh, it's the Mecca, man. It's the Mecca. It's the most famous place to play, and you know that because when guys go play in New York, they're trying to put up 50 every time. Like, it's just that you're going to get a team's best shot when you're at the Garden because that place is just so special.
Bellinote.
Lots of nights after the game. A lot of fun at that place, man. John Thomas and I were talking about it yesterday about how many times Sam and I, we went over there after the games. And, I mean, it was a fun scene, especially after we, you know, got a win.
Just an inside joke there because everybody thinks about – that was the bomb place
it
back
the
in the
spot.
Day.
Right across the street.
Right across the street.
Like, hey, what do you remember? Want to eat at Bellinote?
Eat at Bellinote. Yeah. Go upstairs and escape if you want. And then right. That was the end of the night.
Oh, man, I love that place. That's funny you brought that up. We were just talking about it.
Best vehicle that you own to get you through the Minnesota winters?
The Range. I had the Range, man. It's good in the snow. You know, you get a lot of snow here, so, you know – get your snow tires ready, and, you know, that thing, it'll get you through it, so.
All right, last one for you. Did you ever see a concert at First Avenue, which is right across the street? And if so, what was your favorite?
I actually haven't, so.
Really?
No, I didn't.
Your years, you never went to the legendary First Avenue that Prince made famous?
No, I never got a chance to go to a concert there. So, that was, you know, I mean, that was one of those things I didn't get to knock off the bucket list.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey. But I had a lot of fun here, though, so I can't complain.
Yeah. Well, Latrell, man, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, bro.
Yeah, it's been
fun. And, you know, we enjoyed you on Life in the Pack, and it's nice to see that you're doing well, man.
Yeah, I am, man. Hopefully I'll get JT to get me back out here.
We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, bro.
Absolutely. That's Latrell Sprewell, our guest this week on Life in the Pack podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.